Tell me a little bit about the work you that came into specifically juice. How did you decide to look at inventions?
Well, I've really become fascinated with inventors. I think they just look at things differently. They see problems where most of us don't even see anything wrong. And I think they have tremendous drive, and that's why I called the book Juice, because there's something that they have that keeps them going, that gets them out of bed in the morning. And they really look to change the world in large and small ways, but they're up against immense challenges. And that's what I'd like to talk about tonight is some of the ways that inventors are challenged. And a lot of times they can't even bring their stuff to market. Their inventions can get suppressed in a variety of ways. And what got me first interested in inventors is just my general interest in innovation and how a new invention, like fuel cells, like new forms of energy, like new communications technologies can change society in a profound way. And also it creates the standard of living we have. So there's a lot of good to be said about invention. Invention is the oldest force in the human race. It's older than agriculture, it's older than science, it's older than writing. I mean, we've been inventing since the cave, and what's happening now is amazing. There's just an explosion of new technologies in a variety of fields.
And what happens to an inventor, Evan? Does he first see a problem and then tries to figure out how to solve it? What comes first for him?
Yeah, it's definitely finding the problem. And, you know, an inventor will be on an airplane and be looking for problems. He'll look at the lighting system, the floor tiles, the food court, the food cart, the bathroom. He'll look out the window and see civilization from a distance and spot a problem. You never know what it'll be. Or it could be the airplane itself. An inventor will see a way for making it obsolete. So people generally accept the world as it is. They'll see things normally. An inventor accepts nothing for granted and will challenge any assumption you have.
So someone like Edison, for example, might have said, you know what, there's got to be a better way than a candle. How do I create a light bulb, for example? How do I harness some of this electricity? And, of course, some of the technology was out there a little before him.
Yeah.
But is that what they do? They see things that we can't see? And they're not particularly more brilliant than most people. They just have a knack for sighting things, don't they?
Yeah, and I think it goes back to Da Vinci, really, because he was the first famous and world-class inventor. And, for instance, one of the things he's famous for is in his sketches he has this amazing picture of what is the first flying machine. It looks like a helicopter. And one of the thinking strategies that he employs, and this is what I base the book around, is really these creativity strategies. And what Da Vinci was able to do is use analogies and apply analogies. So he knew the screw was invented, and you were able to screw things into wood, and he looked at the air as substance that had resistance, and he conceived of an air screw. And that's the drawing that he has in that famous notebook of his that wasn't published during his lifetime because publishing wasn't a big industry back then. So people generally didn't know about what he was doing. He never built this flying machine, but he used this power of analogy in his mind, and that's what a lot of inventors do to this day. And it's these strategic thinking skills that they develop and that all of us can use.
Do they have an ability to look into the future?
I think so. There's that old saying that it's safer to invent the future than to predict it. So that's the way they look into the future. They think, what can I do to change the world in a way that I see fit? And that's what really energizes them, gets them out of bed in the morning, is that they can do something about the future.
You know, I've looked at, Evan, how technology has just exploded from the 1900s to the year 2000. I mean, the most dramatic explosion of technology and inventions ever done before in the history of mankind. And then I say to myself, okay, so what would the next 100 years be? Do you think that next 100 years, which we are in right now, can outpace the tremendous explosion that we had from 1900 to 2000?
I do, because there's so many things connecting, you know, in biotech, in infotech, in nanotech. And when these things converge, you know, watch out. I mean, and there's so much creativity happening now. And some of the forces that are at play, of course, are the, you know, things like the internet, where people are sharing information. And if you look at the history of invention, it's all about diffusion of information. You know, people reinvented the wheel all over the world. People reinvented the sail all over the world because they couldn't share information. But once the printing press came about and people were able to do that and we had the Renaissance, there was an explosion of invention, and that led to the Industrial Revolution. So we're having this information revolution now, and it's comparable in that way.
So how easy, then, is it, Evan, for an inventor to come up with an idea that we probably could all use and get it to marketplace and make $1 zillion?
Pretty tough, but it happens all the time. And, you know, you have to look at some of the stories of invention and see how invention has changed. You know, if you look at the history of this country, you know, we were the first country really founded by inventors. George Washington thought it was important to sign the patent law as one of his first acts, you know, in early in his presidency. And Thomas Jefferson was the Secretary of State, but also a patent commissioner. He was the first person to examine patents. He was an inventor. He invented things like rocking chairs and dumbwaiters. Benjamin Franklin was, pretty active inventor, a legendary inventor. And inventors were the heroes of the country, of, you know, people growing up in this country in those early days, in the first 150 years. You know, if you think of Fulton and Morse and Bell and Edison and Tesla and all those great names, it's like a pantheon of names. And they were the Tiger Woods and Michael Jordans of their time.
Oh, they were giants.
They were giants, and they led to the creation of big corporations, which didn't exist before. General Electric and AT&T and DuPont were all the results of individual inventors.
Well, now here's an interesting question. Do they do this for money, for the notoriety, or merely for the benefit of mankind, or all of the above?
It's all of the above, but the way I like to say it is they invent because they are inventors, and they have that inner compulsion to create that's really been with us since the start of humanity, and some people have it more than others, and some companies have it more than others, and some countries have it more than others.